So I have the longest title, I think, of any presentation today, and I'm going to be talking to you today about an intervention program we did in rural Georgia specific to changing parental attitudes specific to influenza vaccination for middle and high school students. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators on this talk, and at the end I'll show you the list of the full set of collaborators for this project. I have nothing to disclose, no financial relationships. So seasonal influenza is a major health issue in the United States. And although all people are susceptible to the flu, school-aged children are the primary spreaders of the virus. And recently, ACIP, the National Group Advising Immunization Practices in the U.S., has recommended that all children ages 5 through 18 receive the influenza vaccination annually. The school-based vaccinations may be an effective way to actually vaccinate the large number of school-aged children in this country against the flu. And school-based vaccinations may be especially good ways to reach low-income, rural, and minority youth who might otherwise have barriers accessing more provider-based medical care for vaccination purposes. To address these issues, the goal of our project was to conduct a non-randomized, three-arm controlled trial of a school-based influenza vaccination intervention in rural Georgia to test the efficacy of an intervention to increase influenza vaccination rates among middle and high school students and to compare influenza vaccination rates in the three study counties. Our intervention consisted of a structural component, and the structural component was either the provision of influenza vaccination in a school-based clinic or providing influenza vaccination in a provider's office, which is the typical standard of care. It also consisted of an educational component that included a tailored brochure for the parents of all of the middle and high school-aged children in the county with a child enrolled in a public school, and a live school presentation that was delivered to the students in each of these middle and high schools in the intervention counties. So here's a graph of our study design. We actually chose three rural counties, all from the East Central Health District in Georgia. We selected this health district because this health district was composed of several rural communities, as well as had several counties that had very small school districts, meaning that the county only had one middle school and one high school for all of the children in the county to go to. Public schools, I should stress. One of our interventions county is called the school-based county. Throughout this presentation, received the educational brochure as well as the live school presentation, and they also received a free influenza vaccine that was provided to their child if the parents opted to have their child vaccinated in a school-based clinic. The other intervention arm was called the provider-based intervention. In this county, these children received the same educational intervention such that they received the brochure as well as the live presentation, and they also received free vaccine for influenza, but the vaccine was administered in their provider's office. And finally, we had a control county, and the control county served as our standard of care. They received no educational intervention or no free vaccine. To give you a sense of the counties and the schools that we were working in these communities, we saw that roughly 50% of each of the counties were male, and this was represented in the schools that we were working in as well. And all of the counties had sizable portions of African American residents, which is also reflected in the public school enrollment as well. Okay, don't be overwhelmed by this slide. It's a little busy, but it's just to show you that our study plan included a phase one where we collected baseline information through a phone survey of the parents in each of the three counties that we were working in. This survey was done prior to phase two, which was when we implemented our intervention activities that occurred in the fall before we got into flu season. And then post-flu season, we actually followed up with another phone survey of all of the parents in all three study counties. We did this same process for two consecutive years to see if one year we might have had more of a dramatic influenza outbreak, we would have been able to capture some variability based on the severity of flu. Today, before I start talking about the phone survey and the findings, I'm only going to be sharing with you the results of our phone surveys at baseline and then 1 year follow-up post-intervention. So in the spring of 2008, with the help of the schools in our school-based provider and control counties, we invited all of the parents with an enrolled middle or high school student to take part in our phone survey. Because of confidentiality reasons with working with schools, we had to invite parents to participate through mailed invitations. We prepared the letters of invitations and consent packets to be mailed, and the schools then addressed the packets for us and mailed them out, so we never had access to any personal information of the students in the county. Interested parents were then asked to sign the consent form, provide us with their contact information, and return the forms to their school, where we collected the forms and then contacted those parents who were interested in taking part in the survey. The survey itself was conducted by a call from a trained research assistant from Emory University and took about 20 minutes to complete. It included questions about seasonal influenza vaccination, history for the target child, reasons for non-vaccination for influenza, and attitudes and barriers towards seasonal influenza vaccination. Across all three school systems, we had approximately 400 consent forms returned for a return rate of 21.5%. This seems pretty low, but for those of you who do these types of mailing surveys, this was actually a pretty good response rate. Of those 400 who consented to take part, we were able to contact and survey 324 parents for an 81% response rate. 140 of our surveys were conducted in our control county, 119 in their provider-based county, and 65 in our school-based county. Note that this is proportionate to the size of the school systems in each of these counties. So we had pretty equal participation across the counties. We had mostly mothers completing our survey, which wasn't surprising, and approximately 50% of the students that the parents were providing information on were female. About 16% of the students in our students that were surveyed about reported a history of asthma. This was important for us getting information about the types of influenza vaccination their child could receive. And about 50% of the students were from middle school. So we had a pretty even split between surveying parents from middle and high school, or middle and high school students. We did find a few differences in the demographics of the parents based on county at baseline survey. Specifically, there were more African American respondents in the school-based county than in our control or provider-based counties that completed the survey, and more respondents in the school-based and control counties indicated that Medicaid was their primary insurance compared to the provider-based county, which the parents endorsed more private insurance. Based on county statistics, however, these differences seem to reflect differences in the counties. So we really feel like the people who were participating in our survey were reflective of the demographic of the counties that we were working in. Of primary interest to our project, we surveyed parents about whether their child had ever received the flu vaccine at any point in their life. And at baseline, prior to any education intervention or the free provision of vaccine on our part, we found no significant differences between the counties in adolescent seasonal flu vaccination rates. We also asked about whether they intended to have their child receive the flu vaccine in the next season. And we did not find any significant differences in intention to vaccinate the target child in the following year. But you will note that in the school-based county, more parents indicated that they were not going to, no, I'm not going to have my child vaccinated against influenza, than the provider and control counties, where there was more uncertainty expressed about their intentions for the following year. We were also very interested in parents' attitudes and beliefs about influenza vaccination. We specifically assessed five categories of attitudes and beliefs, which were mapped onto the health belief model, which helped guide our intervention planning for this project. So we assessed the benefits, barriers, susceptibility, severity, and social norms surrounding getting their adolescent child vaccinated against the influenza, seasonal influenza. I'm sorry, I'm stressing seasonal influenza because partway through our project, the novel H1N1 strain of flu came to the US. We found only one significant difference between the counties in regards to the attitudes and beliefs at baseline. Specifically, the school-based county, actually, these parents endorsed more higher levels of barrier-related attitudes and beliefs than the controller provider parents in our survey. To follow up on this, we explored the reasons that parents were giving for not getting their child the flu vaccine. And the school-based county parents endorsed more reasons or barriers for not having their child vaccinated against influenza than the provider and control counties. And the control county endorsed more barriers than our provider-based county. The main reasons provided by the school-based county and the control county for non-vaccination were concerns about the side effects of the vaccine, the belief that the vaccine itself could make their child ill, and the belief that their adolescent child simply just didn't need an influenza vaccination. In the provider-based and control counties, we saw the barrier coming up that it was hard to find time to fit in to their schedules getting their child vaccinated. And in the school-based county only, we also heard as a primary barrier that the vaccine itself cost too much and that they believe that it just simply didn't prevent the flu. So back to this slide, those were our baseline results. Now I'm going to move on and talk about our one-year follow-up data from the survey as well. So after intervention, we found significant differences between the counties for the question, has your child ever received the flu vaccine? Specifically in our provider county, we found significantly more parents saying yes, their child had received in their lifetime the flu vaccine compared to the school or the control county. We also found marginally significant differences when reporting for the question, did your child receive the vaccine in this past year? With our school and provider counties showing a trend towards more, reporting more vaccination against the flu in the past year compared to the control county. Finally, we found significant differences in intentions to vaccinate in our school and provider-based county compared to controls. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to fly through these slides. And just importantly, these are going to show our control, school-based, and provider-based counties, the change from baseline to one-year follow-up for each of the questions I talked about. And you can see that we found that our two intervention counties showed significant change from baseline to follow-up in terms of ever receiving the flu vaccine and not in our control county. All of the counties changed in their answers, had a positive change in from baseline to follow-up in their receipt of flu vaccine in the following year. And intentions to vaccinate in the following year changed from baseline to follow-up with significant increases in our school-based and provider-based counties, but no significant change from baseline to follow-up in our control county. I'm going to skip through these, but I'm happy to share. These were changes in attitudes as well. In conclusion, we found that based on our one-year follow-up data, school-based influenza educational interventions with components specifically targeting parents of these adolescents may positively influence adolescents' influenza vaccination rates in rural, predominantly minority communities. Our educational intervention consisted of a tailored brochure designed with input from the parents about what were the components that we needed to address in these in the brochures that were going to combat their concerns about the vaccine. So our findings suggest that even something as simple as a brochure that's designed in conjunction with the people within that community can be sufficient to reduce perceived barriers towards influenza vaccination in rural parents. Additionally, partnering with the schools in these small communities was essential because these schools were trusted pillars in the communities, and we really believe that this increased the parents' acceptance of our messages that we were sending out about the flu and the need for influenza vaccination. So any future vaccine efforts, we would suggest that they consider partnering with schools in these trusted institutions in communities in order to have the vaccination messages heard by the parents. And furthermore, we believe that in all communities, rural or otherwise, that including the community or the parents in the development of the intervention messages is critical to the success of these programs, especially when it relates to something as sensitive as vaccination. Thank you. Sorry for zooming through. And to acknowledge and thank all of the collaborators as well as the CDC for funding this project. Thank you.